I would be remiss before I start this morning the sermon to not acknowledge two of the class of 2014 who have been amazingly supportive both through the summer and through the year. One is Allison Ray, who sang just beautifully this morning. I have actually known Allison for a long time and am delighted and thrilled by your beauty of your voice. And also Andrew Sedler, who occupies the back of the church both today and also so often. He has been a remarkable, remarkable support in the ushering team through the year, and particularly this summer when he, after even graduating, he volunteered to return to us and coordinate the readers and also help with the ushering. So I would like for us, if you would, to just acknowledge the beauty of their contribution this morning. Let us pray. Oh God, as we encounter your scripture, often we find ourselves bringing to it the moments in our lives when we both seek comfort and balm, and also moments when we seek your guidance in being stirred up. And so this morning, as we have encountered already the words read from scripture, and now as we listen for your word through the words that you have provided for me this week, grant that our lives would be open to receiving all that you would give to us, both in this moment and in our lives. For it is through Christ that we have our strength and our glory and our calm. Amen. The story of Jacob wrestling with what is termed the man is one of the most interrogated passages in the Hebrew Bible. Almost without fail, when we approach this text, we encounter one of the biblical narratives that engages the universals of the human experience. It has the structure of a great story. The players, Jacob and the elusive man, the circumstance, estrangement of Jacob from his brother Esau, whom Jacob duped and has been on the run from for years, and the thickening plot, Jacob is now about to meet up with his brother Esau as he makes his way to the land of promise. Perhaps the allure of this story that we all know is that we know at the core of it is conflict. And often we encounter that conflict even within our own families. We all know the strength that it takes to wrestle those late night forces. We know those fearful moments when the worry that we kept at bay in the daylight hours creeps into the shadowy places of the night, awaiting our most fertile imagination and showing us our deepest vulnerability. And we realize that the blessed source of our lives is the God who won't shrink back from the challenges of such a time as this, our time, for that matter. There is much uncertainty about who it was that showed up on the edge of that river, who it is that takes Jacob on as he is about to meet up with the brother that he jerked around for years, who it is that meets him on the edge of a great crossing that surprisingly brings him to himself. Was the man that wrestled Jacob to the ground that night Yahweh, or another god named Fear, a stranger who happened to be waiting in the darkness, or perhaps even his brother Esau? Was it a fight to the finish or a fight to begin something so new, so unbounded, so remarkable that it had to result in an injury, a dislocation in every sense of that word? Was it a wrestling match or a night of terror, horror, and twisting violence of all that clung to Jacob with his cunning, deceitful, psychological makeup. Well, whatever happened on that shoreline, on the edge of that ford called Jabbok, it was not terribly pleasant. It was a violent wrestling of all that forced its way into Jacob's life at that moment. And it shows us just how much of a rascal, a fighter, a striver Jacob was. And it also brings us squarely in touch with the essence of faith, that it does not shrink back from even the most overpowering forces that arise out of the disturbing dimensions of life. It is a moment of seeking the face of the stranger and facing up to the self and being given a new face, a new identity, a new name. This episode is about the power of God and the power of humans to face up to all that we wrestle with in the night. It's no mistake, I think, and a rather interesting reality, that the lectionary for this Sunday pairs the wrestling with a day generations later when the disciples of Jesus, a descendant of the wrestler Jacob, stood on the edge of a lake with thousands of hungry people. The disciples question, how can we feed this mob? And that meets the face of Jesus, who knows that they have it in them to save face, to engage the challenge, to feed the hungry ones with abundant nourishment. And yet, I'm convinced that for many Christians, there is an assumption that to follow Jesus is to put aside the fighter in us, to put aside the confidence that we have in God to provide the strength and the nourishment that this church, that this world so longs to have. So often we squelch the fire that burns within us. Now, I am not trying to romanticize the fiery Jacob who fought for his life on the shore that night. Jacob was actually a pretty crummy character. His life up to that wrestling match at Jabbok, you recall, was a series of dupes, taking advantage and trying to get his way. It actually began in the womb, where he wrestled with his twin brother Esau, a great disturbance to his mother Rebekah. And when the time came to be born, Esau came out first, and Jacob was grabbing his brother's heel, trying to supplant or slide into the world first. Jacob was his mother's favorite, and scheming seemed to be an inherited characteristic. They worked together, mom and son, to con Isaac, Jacob's dad, into giving Jacob the primogeniture blessing, which included the lion's share of the estate when the time came. Jacob had smooth skin, you'll remember, and his brother Esau was the hairy twin. A minor detail until they hatched a plan. It happened on a day when hairy Esau was out hunting. Jacob wrapped his boyishly shorn hands with the skin of goats, got his mother to put on Esau's clothing, and his mother prepares a stew, his father's favorite. As he steps into his father's tent, he greets his blind father with his best imitation of Esau's voice. And though Isaac had his suspicions, it was the wrong son. The plot works, and Jacob exits over the tent's edge with the blessing in hand. He took total advantage of his blind father and played him for a sucker. And you'll remember that he got out of Dodge fast with a furious brother having been stolen blind. And just before the night we read about in our scripture passage for today, they were estranged for over 20 years. Esau actually fades into the background of the biblical text and the double-crossing Jacob, and it's Jacob who becomes the focus of the biblical narrative. He double-crossed his double-crossing father-in-law, making off with about everything that wasn't nailed down later, and Jacob simply seemed to never be satisfied. So why in heaven's name would God choose Jacob to be the focus of the next step in the history of God's people? Actually, we don't know the answer to that question because we don't know the mind of God. But it is true that God not only blessed Jacob through his father's blessing, but he also gave him a dream. It is too pushy, full of himself, entitled Jacob, that the most amazing promises are made. The dream that he had is marvelous. Jacob was on the run from his brother and comes to a place, and it's night, and a stone is pulled under his head for a pillow, and he falls asleep. He dreams of a ladder reaching heaven and angels moving up and down that ladder. God is there telling him that the land he is on is holy land, and his descendants will become a great nation. And if land and children aren't enough, if a fat salary and fertility will be so ready that almost a look will make the belly bulge, then the biggest promise of all is this. God says, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. I think God knew that Jacob was the one who had the moxie to take up the challenges that were ahead for God's people. And it might not have surprised God at all that Jacob would be the one who would step up to the violent struggle that night. And if indeed God was the opponent, then Jacob was quite a match for God. And God had to muster up a lot of steam to leave Jacob limping. If it was God who wrestled, then God knows about striving, about dislocation, and also this God wrestles all the way to the birth of all that will bring justice and a hope to a world that is about to give up on itself. Sometimes the wrestling in this life leads us to face our estranged brother and sister. But other times it asks that we cast our gaze to the systemic social injustice, where the matchup is Promethean in its stakes. I know a man who looked into the face of injustice in the context of apartheid in South Africa. Father Michael Lapsley is an Anglican priest who grew up in New Zealand. And he worked in the anti-apartheid movement in universities in South Africa in the 1980s. In 1990, Father Lapsley, who was exiled to Zimbabwe, opened a package and was immediately struck by a blast of an explosion. The letter bomb, hidden in a church newsletter, was suspected to be the work of the anti-apartheid era South African secret police. It blasted away both of his hands and one of his eyes. This incident, steeped in the radical social implications of the gospel and his identification with the liberation struggle, was a face-to-face encounter with the crippling reality of injustice. Father Lapsley could have stepped away from the challenges of his work as a priest. But instead, he returned to South Africa following the dismantling of apartheid. What he found there was a new struggle, a powerful wrestling match in the tough days where a whole nation was damaged by the apartheid era. Slowly, he discovered his own new vocation to become a wounded healer, drawing on his own experience to promote healing to others who were victims of violence and trauma. As he writes in his book, my visible brokenness creates a bond with others whose brokenness is often less visible, but just as real. The truth is that pain unites human beings, says Lapsley. In my work as a healer, many people say they can trust me because I know pain. In the end, though, what matters most is whether we are able to transform pain into life-giving force. Michael Lapsley works to this day through his Center for the Healing of Memories, a religious organization that works in tandem with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa. Lapsley knows the wrestling. He knows the importance of never giving up the fight for justice. He knows the blessing that comes with the struggle. He knows vulnerability. When the dawn cracked open the night of Jacob's struggle, Jacob clung to his assailant and asked for a blessing. And instead of the blessing Jacob might have expected, he is given a new name, a new identity. When daylight comes, the living daylight's knocked out of him, the stranger is gone, Jacob, the supplanter, is gone as well, and his new identity, Israel, has arrived. The new name comes, though, with the crippling reality that Jacob will forever walk with a limp. The daring encounter with the Holy One of Israel portends what will come and is present to this day. There are no untroubled victories with this Holy One. And through the Promethean prevailing, Jacob soars to bold heights in his relationship with God. As we see in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, who stands in this tradition, it is in the wrestling, in the weakness, that power comes. This is the gospel. This is the good news. There's an epilogue to this story as well. As the light breaks on the horizon, Jacob sees the face of his brother across the distance, which is more shimmering than dawn's light. It may have dawned on him, and it surely dawns on us this morning as we engage this text, that when the struggle in the night gives way to the sunny, brilliant light that arises and shines on the scene, then there will be embraces and kisses and weeping that takes our breath away. They shine on those you love and those with whom you've struggled. The faces that we see may startle us. They may engage us in surprising ways. We here at Memorial Church have so much to offer to this university and to the life of this community. And there are days and hours when we boldly step out of this place with the gifts of intelligence, stamina, and excellent strategy for our work. But the core of our work in this place is to be bold in faith, to trust that God will not only comfort the afflicted here, but also, by God's grace, afflict us with a challenging hope and dreams for our life together in this university. And in so doing, we can truly dare to see the face of the person on our horizon, or the person next to you, the tear-streaked face of our estranged friend or family member, and the joy-drenched face of a long-lost relative, or the beaming face of a world that so waits to catch our eye. All of this gives way to the pools of your soul, which awaits the power of God and then steps boldly into this world. So on this day, as we see the faces before us, may we, like Jacob, see the face of God and know that God is in this place. Thanks be to God. Amen.